Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live, as we are every single day. And our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook, and hey, you can join 102.5 and 106.3 The Game this Saturday at 3rd and Home, located at 919 3rd Avenue North in Germantown for a Preds watch party as the Predators take on the Philadelphia Flyers at 11:30 a.m. Come watch the game, get some Preds swag, and also enter to win tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Joining us now is TD Teron Davenport. Appreciate you for joining us, TD. He joins us every Monday at 1 o'clock. TD, I'm reading this article put out by Jim Wyatt at the Pro Bowl, and Jeffrey Simmons could not say enough nice things about the hiring of Rand Carthon, about what he thinks about Rand Carthon, and he says in their discussions about his contract, Jeffrey Simmons says he feels confident about being in Tennessee moving forward. I mean, that's a stark contrast from what we've heard from Jeffrey Simmons sit down with The Athletic a few months ago, where he said, the last conversation I had, they didn't know where the money was going to come from. Really big difference over the last few months. What changed?
Well, I think what changed is a lot of things. And obviously, it starts with the new GM, but I think the perspective, just in some of the people that I've talked to, it's been made relatively clear to him that he's not going to have to play on that fifth-year option, which is important, right? And there's going to be an extension that's going to be done at some point. So I think that's really the main thing, is just reassurance that he is a priority. And if you notice in those comments, that's something that he said Rand Carthon told him in the conversation, is that he is going to be, one of the priorities.
Do you think Jeffrey Simmons wasn't a priority to John Robinson, or was it more so just the approach and the communication between Jeffrey Simmons and his agents and John Robinson?
I don't think that he wasn't a priority to John Robinson at all. And I think it's just a matter of advancing to the next stage of things, right? You look at, as you get closer, I mean, it was something that they could have kind of put off, right? And now we're getting closer, we're getting into that off season, and that part of it is where you have these discussions. So I don't think that there was exactly an indication that he was not going to be brought back. I know there was communication between both camps, so I wouldn't say it wasn't a priority. It's just where it is now in the whole order of operations and where we are on the calendar.
And now, TD, we brought up earlier something Jim Wyatt said. He was answering a few questions in his mailbag, and a question came up about Nate Davis and would Nate Davis be back with the tight side. Nate Davis, Jim said he, and he's not saying it like he won't be back or he will, but he was just saying in his opinion that he think he won't be back, meaning Nate Davis. What do you expect the Titans to do with Nate Davis? Do you expect them to make a hard push to try to bring him back so they don't then have to go out and get someone at the guard position? Do you expect him to hit free agency and be gone?
Yeah, I think he's going to hit free agency. I think they'll make an offer, but in my opinion, they may be bracing themselves for him to be priced out of what they are willing to pay. I think that's really the case with that situation. I mean, he's a guy that came in, right, and he struggled a bit early, but then worked into the starter role, and he's been a solid starter for them since his rookie year. So you do have that, but I think that compounded with how deep this class is at guards. I mean, you could get guys, all the way into early day three that could come in and compete for a starting spot. So I think you look at both of those things, along with where they are financially, that's probably an indication that there could be a parting of ways. But I do believe that they will make an offer.
Now, another guy that I'm interested about, and it's not on this team, because I read a few things this weekend about T. Higgins, and maybe he might just price himself out of Cincinnati. Because he does want a new contract. But then they know and understand that, listen, Ja'Marr Chase is coming up pretty soon too. And he's going to want and deserves a lot of money. Honestly, he might deserve to be the highest paid receiver in the National Football League. Do you think, one, that T. Higgins gets out of Cincinnati, and do you think the Titans should kick the tires on that?
I think when you're looking at the contract that may be on the horizon for Joe Burrow, there's a good chance that he does get out of Cincinnati. And then you also, eventually down the line, you're going to have to pay Chase as well. So those are a couple guys that are going to warrant a good portion of the salary cap. So it's definitely possible. I think it's going to happen. If it does, it will be via trade. And one of the things that I always look at, and I use the example of Peerless Price, right? When he was in Buffalo opposite Eric Moles, he was eating, doing really well. And then the Falcons signed him, and things didn't really work out. And you know how it is when you're the top receiver on the team. You're getting that attention. And the guy on the opposite side, he's getting what? One-on-one coverage. And, yeah, I will put my money on T. Higgins over a lot of corners, most corners, in one-on-one. So I just wonder if that shifts how that's going to work for him. I don't think that he would struggle, but I don't know that he would be as successful also. So that's something you have to balance out as you're looking at that big money picture as far as paying a free agent like that.
Teron Davenport is with us. Teron, just on the offensive line question as a whole, I know we just asked you about Nate Davis, but when you look at what they likely have to spend and maybe the market out there for the blend of drafting a guy or two, signing a guy or two, it looks like there's going to be a pretty decent overhaul. You're going to have a new offensive coordinator, a new offensive line coach. How does the market look to try to sort of overhaul, at least to some degree, your offensive line?
Well, you obviously have a few free agent options. You want to keep an eye on what San Francisco does with their right tackle, Mike McGlinchey. But to be honest with you, a lot of times you don't really see a quality offensive lineman become available. You don't. There's not a lot of Roger Saffolds, that type of situation. You don't see that frequently. So I doubt he becomes available. Again, I've said it over and over again, Andre Dillard out of the Eagles, that's a unique situation because he is a quality offensive lineman. He just got beaten out by a higher quality offensive lineman and one who happens to be the offensive line coach's project that has blossomed into a starter. So, and that's Jordan Mailata. Other than that, I mean, there's not really much out there. But the good thing, this draft, as I mentioned, with these guards is pretty deep. And there's some tackles also. You know, if you don't get a tackle at pick 11, you could come back at 41 and you could get a quality guy there. So I think that's really the way that they're going to improve that offensive line is through the draft. And that's good because especially when you're a team that is looking to add quality players but not have to, you know, really break the bank, the best way to do that is by drafting guys that could come in and be impactful.
What are your biggest takeaways from the Senior Bowl this week? I know you weren't down there like you normally are to really get into the depth that you do, but I know you pay very close attention to what happens down there.
Yeah, I think you look at, and that's actually where you see some of the depth there, right? You got Osiris Torrence, who some are projecting into the first round out of Florida. I think if he's there at 41, you know, that's something that you definitely look at. There's a lot of centers down there too. You look at the Minnesota center, John Michael Schmitz. He's someone that I think could be a pick that they could look at also. So long story short, depth on the O-line. There were a lot of guys. Darnell Wright out of Tennessee, he made himself some money down there. You go back and you look at his game against Alabama, he held his own against Will Anderson. So that's something. That's what I really pulled from it, the depth along the offensive line. And, of course, we got to mention DeJuan Jones, that mammoth of a man, 6'8", 359. Now, some of his measurements showed 375, but the one that I saw was 359. But let me tell you something. Like, he was really punishing guys in that one practice that he had that Tuesday. I got to see some of those one-on-ones, and he was giving out work.
Now, TD, if you had a chance to watch the Pro Bowl, what did you think of it?
Well, I think it was good for the younger viewers, like the younger viewers. Not as much for someone like myself. I watched it, and, yeah, I didn't really I didn't really care for it. But, I mean, at least the guys were a little more competitive than they normally are. But it wasn't really something for that I would probably watch again.
Well, that's just how I felt, TD. It was like, you know, I mean, I tried to watch a lot of it. I just couldn't get through it. And I kept turning back and forth, but it wasn't, like you said, it was more so for the younger viewer, teenagers, kids. But exactly. For me, it was just like, nah, I can watch something else.
And when Kirk Herbstreit was saying that he thought that Kirk Cousins was starting to feel the pressure in the flag football game, I was like, come on, Kirk. He's not feeling any kind of pressure. Last one for you, TD. Tyrann Davenport is with us. Do you think the Titans should inquire about the first overall pick?
Absolutely, inquire, but that doesn't mean do it. There's multiple reasons, too. Ryan Tannehill, I feel, is the guy who should be the quarterback this year. Absolutely. I feel he should be the one, but I don't know that there's a long-term commitment to him. So that being said, you're right there in the market for a guy that could be your long-term quarterback. So when you have that dilemma on your hands, you have to, at the very least, find out, okay, what would it take to get there? Just in case, as you're going through your study, you fall in love with a guy. You know, you need to be able to have that set up to where you can, you know, have things in place to try to make that move up there. So, yeah, I think they should inquire. It's not something that I think they should do, but absolutely inquire. You always have the opportunity to put another iron in that fire, right, for the Bears, to be able to use against other teams, i.e. the Colts and the Texans, to drive that price up. So that's something else as well.
TD, we appreciate you for joining us. Are you headed to Phoenix this week?
No Super Bowl for me. The only way I go is if the Titans go. So, you know, I'll be home.
Sooner rather than later, right?
Hey, we'll see.
All right, TD, we appreciate you. We'll chat with you next week.
All right, for sure. Take it easy.
And that's what I want to get into coming up next.
But we do have some big news, though.
Oh, we do?
Per Ian Rappaport. So we need to
discuss that. We'll get into that as well. Caroline Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Caroline Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. And hey, the Preds have a home game tomorrow night. Finally, it feels like it's been forever since we've seen the Preds in Bridgestone Arena. And it's your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. If you correctly guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the game tomorrow night, you win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Participate in Pick to Click tomorrow morning at 8:45 a.m. with Robbie and Rex Road.
We have a little Preds trivia coming up as well.
Yes, we do have a little Preds
trivia.
That
is coming up a little later.
Coming
Pay attention.
Up, we have a pair of tickets to give away to an upcoming Preds home game, so make sure to stay tuned for some Predators trivia for your chance to win a pair of tickets to a Preds home game. So this came out over the weekend, really, you know, Friday afternoon, and I saw so many people texting the text line about it. I saw so many people talking about it on Twitter, and I just wasn't going to pay it any mind, really, because it's coming from not a reliable source. And I was listening to Stillman & Company on Friday, and Jared reached out to Ryan Porth, our resident Chicago knower of all things, because this is coming out from Ben Devine, I believe you pronounce his name. And this is a guy who has a blue check mark, but it's Twitter blue, so he doesn't have a blue check mark. It says the Bears have already received offers from two teams for the number one overall pick, according to Da Bears blog, which, again,
like, Da Bears.
Who the heck is that?
Like, Bill Schwarzky?
What kind of Adam Schefter is going
Carl
on?
Carl Wolarski, the guys from SNL?
Saddam after. It's neither is the Texans or Colts. One of the inquiring teams is the Titans, who have the 11th overall pick in the NFL draft. Okay, I don't believe a single word that Da Bears blog or Ben Devine says. Ryan Porth said he told Jared on Friday that he's wrong about 75% of the time.
Oh, wow.
But sometimes he's right. So 75% of the time, it works every time.
Little Anchorman reference there.
Right.
Very nice.
So I don't believe it. I don't believe the report. I don't believe like what Ben Devine and DeBear's blog is saying is actually truth. But I will say, if it is true, good. I think the Titans should be inquiring about the first overall pick. And I think the Titans at least should be doing their due diligence. It doesn't mean that they're going to get the first overall pick. It doesn't mean they're going to sell the farm for the first overall pick. But they should at least be asking about it. If you have questions about your starting quarterback, at least ask about what it would cost.
I think regardless. I think it's always smart to gauge the market.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
You should always be doing that. You know, David Poyle's been doing it forever. Remember what happened last year. This is what I think happened anyway. I think he was gauging the market for Philip Forsberg. Remember that whole saga all year long. It went all the way through the season before it got done at the last minute, re-upping with him. They wanted him all along. Philip Forsberg wanted to be there all along. They were trying to figure out a price. But you have to be ready. But what happened was a report got out and it said they're actively shopping Philip Forsberg. Remember that whole Andy Strickland thing from St. Louis, and everybody got up in arms. David
right.
Poyle got really upset. He called Philip Forsberg at age and said, I'm not shopping you around. But basically what he was doing was exactly what you're suggesting Rand Carthon should do.
At least
gauge the market,
it.
Find out what we're thinking here. What's the first pick worth to you? You know, what do we have? So the other thing it has to do with, to me, Derek, is you got a brand new GM. You want to get used to, you know, this is a great excuse to get to know the Chicago GM, right? Mm-hmm. You got to deal with these guys. There's 32 of them, right? You need to build a relationship. He's a first-time GM. I'm sure they want to gauge a little bit of what Rand Carthon's all about, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think being able to speed dial guys and build conversations, you build relationships, that's how deals will get done. The chances that they actually trade for the first pick are minuscule, but you're setting the table for everything else you're going to be doing.
Yeah, I think so. If Chicago is willing to part ways with that first pick, which the minute they got it, I think everybody was thinking, like, I'm sure they're going to move off this first round pick because it seems like, you know, everyone is invested in Justin Fields and, you know, he's a talent and I think he's only going to get better at the quarterback position. So why would you draft a quarterback at that position? Or why would you, essentially take a player, any player at that position, knowing that there are other teams behind you that are willing to move up mm-hmm. to get that number one spot, to get, Bryce Young, because I assume that will be the number one pick unless something changes. So if the Titans, I would be all for the Titans, inquiring about that first round, that number one pick in the NFL draft this year. How much is going to cost you? It's going to cost you a lot. It's going to cost you a few first rounders. So are you willing as an organization to do that? Now, listen, if you scout it and you feel that guy that you wanted, that pick, is a no-brainer and he will change your franchise, the minute he get there, then you do whatever you need to do to make that happen. If there's still a little bit of, maybe we can get our guy, but a little bit maybe at number 5 or 6, then you don't make the deal. But if everyone's sold on that one guy, you make the deal. You know? I don't see why not.
And maybe the Titans feel that way about mm-hmm. a guy. Maybe they do. And maybe that's what this quote-unquote inquiry, mm-hmm. if it even is true, was about. And maybe not. Maybe they don't have that guy. Maybe there's a guy that they're looking at like, okay, if we can get him at 11, if we can maybe move up to get him, what is it really worth to us? It doesn't mean that the Titans are going to get the first overall pick. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that the Titans absolutely positively will do whatever it takes to get the first overall pick. Maybe it does. Maybe they have found that guy. I don't know. But at least do your due diligence. At least shop around the market. At mm-hmm. least see what it would cost you. I mean, because I think Corey Curtis made this point on, I believe it was Still on a Company on Friday. He said, if you don't have your quarterback of the future, you should be doing whatever it takes every single year to see what it would take to get your quarterback of the future.
Yeah, it's a good way of putting
it. Just gauging the temperature on the first overall pick. Maybe it's 4 first-round picks because it's a highly competitive quarterback market out there. There are so many quarterback-needy teams. I would even go as far as to say maybe close to half of the league needs mm-hmm. a quarterback of the future, and there's really only two, three, maybe four potential starting quarterbacks in this draft. So maybe the market is just far too competitive, and the Titans have more than enough needs in this year's draft, and they aren't willing to do what it takes to pay what it costs to get the first overall pick. But at least look and see.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to harm anyone if you call up the Bears GM and say, hey, you know, what would it take for us to get to the number one pick? Okay. All right. Well, thank you. Yeah. Appreciate it. And yeah. Then you
but you
go
gain
back.
Intelligence. Exactly. But you what go do you back. Like on our roster? What do we like? You know, there's a lot of things you learn. You okay. figure out how they operate.
So what if they
the idea light bulb just went off on top of Derek's
head. I'll show that later. Another side, but I think it would take for this to happen for them to potentially move up to that number one spot. But like I said about 2 minutes ago, you don't make that move unless you know for sure that guy that you want is that guy. Like everybody right. in the building,
like Jared Goff, is on, he was yeah, the guy.
Everybody is on the same page. He can lead us to a Super Bowl. You got to be, if you're going to make the move that I may throw out, that I want to throw out there, if you make that move, you better, that guy better be the guy.
And if he's not the guy,
yeah, all y'all fired.
You're fired.
Yeah, all y'all fired.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Let's say the Titans are actually very seriously interested in the first overall pick. Would history show that that's a good move considering where the Titans are right now? And, of course, your phones. Want to get your thoughts on that as well. 615-737-1025. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063 The Game.
Why wouldn't you be? Why wouldn't you see what it would take to get up there from 11? I mean, if there's one of these guys that you like enough, why wouldn't you? We have seen it over and over and over and over and over again. If you don't have Mahomes, if you don't have Burrows, don't have Jim. If you don't have that guy back there, you're really up against it. Okay. See, if you're not one of those handful of teams with one of those guys, you got to find a way to get one.
There you go. That was Corey Curtis on Stillman & Company on Friday. And hey, I agree. If the Titans are inquiring about the first overall pick, good. Just see what it would cost. You're not committed to anything. You don't have to make that deal. Just look at what the market is at and see where you stand. But let's say the Titans are serious. And this is just a completely hypothetical situation, just viewing it through a what-if lens. What if the Titans are seriously, legitimately interested in trading for the first overall pick to draft the quarterback of the future? To your point, D-Mace, you got to love that guy. That guy has got to be your guy of the future. But there have been very few teams in the past, let's just say like in recent history, that have traded for the first overall pick to draft a quarterback. I would say the last one, at least in recent history in my memory, is the Rams trading with the Titans for the first overall pick in 2016 and drafting Jared Goff. Mm-hmm. But I think the difference there for any team that is either like either the Rams in 2016 or any other team that has really gone for it for at least a veteran quarterback, like trading a bunch of picks for that guy, for their quarterback of the future, I think the one thing that those teams have in common for the most part, that that's the criteria that the Titans don't fit, is those teams have had teams or has had a team around the quarterback that's prepared to win. And the teams that haven't, that have gone all in for the quarterback, that didn't really have a team around the quarterback, haven't been very successful. Most obvious in recent history is Denver. You know, they traded so many picks for Russell Wilson, and it was a disaster because there really weren't a whole lot of pieces around Russell Wilson, and I think that the head coach had a part to do with that as well. But look at the Rams. They went all in, both for Jared Goff and for Matthew Stafford. Jared Goff got them to a Super Bowl. They found he wasn't the guy, and then they traded for Matthew Stafford. And both of those teams had pieces around it that were ready to win a Super Bowl. 2016, they had Todd Gurley. They had Aaron Donald. 2021, they had Aaron Donald. They had Cooper Kupp. They had the pieces around
Jalen Ramsey. I mean, they really wheeled and dealed, that team.
Yeah.
Boy, they just kept doubling down and doubling down, and finally they got it all to come together.
Yeah, they did. I need to go back to that 2016 team where they made you know, the decision to move all the way up in the draft.
Jeff Fisher was still the coach.
And they got Jared
Goff. They were fresh into L.A. At that point.
Yeah, so it's not like they had this team that was ready to win a Super Bowl, because subsequently they didn't get to the Super Bowl until years later, a few years later. But what they did do, and I've been saying this for the longest, and for some reason, you know, if I say it, people don't look at it, but then somebody else come right around and say it, and it's like, oh yeah, we need to go get that. Look, because he said it. That guy right there said it. So we need to go get our quarterback. Damn it, I've been telling y'all this for the last month and a half, 2 months. The Rams did it. They got to the Super Bowl with Jared Goff.
2 years later.
Yes, they got to the Super Bowl with Jared Goff. So
now,
mission
accomplished.
Mission accomplished.
Because it was 2019 Super Bowl, but 18 season.
But the 2016 season, mm-hmm. they were 4-12.
Oh, three. Okay.
Exactly. So Fisher fired. Mm-hmm. Then 11-5 the next year.
Mm-hmm.
When they, because remember, Goff sat for a year.
Yeah. Right.
That was one of the things they did. They sat him for a whole year. Then he came in. They went 11-5, lost in the wild card. And then the third year,
they went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And that boring still, Super Bowl.
So pretty good.
So yeah. What they did, you know, they got what they wanted. They didn't win the Super Bowl, but they got to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. They gave themselves an opportunity. Why? Because they did what was necessary to move up to the number one pick, to get the quarterback that everybody felt they needed. Everybody in that organization felt, we needed this guy. He's going to get us to the promised land. He got them to the promised land. Did they win? No. So they had to do it again. And they finally won it. Not necessarily because of the quarterback, but the quarterback helped, but it was because of that defense that they had, and the quarterback just didn't mess the game up, nor did the head coach mess the game up, because he tried to, but it didn't work.
He did try.
The Titans, I've been saying this for the longest. You do what you, if everybody in that building feels that this is the guy, do what you need to do to get that guy. If it means giving up two number one picks, two first round picks, well, you do that to get your guy, because in the long run, it's going to pay off. Those picks, I can get my guys in the second round that I need. I don't necessarily have to have, because if we're good, we're getting a low first round pick anyway. So it doesn't make any difference. I would rather be good with my quarterback of the future and give away the 25th pick in the draft 2 years in a row, or 2 years out of the three, but I still got my other picks left. If that guy's in that, if you're in the position to get him and everybody's on board, damn it, do what you can to get him. Because if you don't get him, you're going to have to try to do it the next year. And then the price is going to be even higher the next following year when you try to get that quarterback. And it may not be, the quarterback that comes out next year, and that may not be as good as the quarterback that was chosen first this year. So if you're in a position to get that guy, and it doesn't, I'm not saying give up three or four first rounders. That's not what I'm saying.
You might have to.
If they ask for two first rounders and a second round, a future second rounder, or two first rounders and a conditional, whatever it may take. But if everybody in that building feels that that's the guy, then you do it.
Yeah, it's.
Well, you have to.
Why did the Titans trade the first pick overall when they did to the Rams? Well, it's because they had just drafted Marcus Mariota. So they had the guy. So it's important to note, the first pick isn't for sale very mm-hmm. often, right? Most teams, especially if there's an obvious guy, they'll just, you know, if they need a quarterback and they have the first pick and there's a good quarterback out there, they're taking the quarterback. Yeah. They're not going to mm-hmm. put it on the trade block. So
I do.
That's all the more reason why it's really worth vetting and doing the homework and doing the knowledge of, you know, what would we be willing to get up? How much do we like the quarterbacks at the top of this draft? Because you don't get this opportunity very often, if it's true, because they have Justin Fields.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He looks like he's a keeper, I think, anyway. I mean, the jury's still out. He's got to get better. But, man, he is a talent for sure. Maybe it's like Mariota. Mm-hmm. In a couple years, maybe he goes one way or maybe he goes another. But I think it's the right move by the Bears to sit out there and go, you know, can we increase our assets here by shopping this pick?
Or it could be Josh Allen. He could be Josh Allen. Everybody thinks that, you know, after the first year, oh, man, this guy's not the worst. And then all of a sudden, the light bulb comes on, and you're considered now a top three or four quarterback in the National Football League.
And I think that the Bears at least owe Justin Fields a little bit of time mm-hmm. with some legitimate weapons around him. Justin Fields doesn't look like a bad player. Is it an immediate return, like probably a lot of Chicago fans wanted? No, because what does he have around him?
I was really starting to worry because this is, you know, that was his second year he just completed. Mm-hmm. And for about 4 or 5 weeks of the second year, it was like, this doesn't look so good. And all of a sudden, boom, he had some incredibly productive weeks running. They were they were losing the games. He needs more around him for sure, but there's promise there for sure.
But when we were saying this, not necessarily us, but the sort of the consensus about Josh Allen for the first year, 2 years was this guy may not be the court. He's not the guy. Like, man, they made a mistake by drafting him. And then lo and behold, change coaching staffs, people come in and add some more people to the team. And he's an elite quarterback to many. So yeah. It can happen in the blink of an eye.
615-737-1025. And hey, Preds fans, if you want to win tickets in our lower bowl section 102, just text the keyword Superbook, all one word, to the game text line 615-737-1025, and you will be entered to win. If you want a pair of tickets to see the Predators in lower bowl section 102, win with 1025-1063 the game, and you can win with Superbook.
Yeah, and maybe that you get a little bit more out of as far as, you know, work and the type of guy, you know, that you want there. And so, you know, we'll see how that goes. Because you're right, you know, he's, you know, you think of the guys that you could bring back. He's one of the guys where you say, well, he's an NFL starter, you know. And, you know, you look at Aaron Brewer, and we all like him, but we all still wonder, is he an NFL starter? We certainly don't have an NFL starter looking there on the left side of the line. We don't know what's going to happen in the middle. And, you know, I think the jury's still out on Petit Frere. I mean, he did okay, but I don't think, you know, look, he wasn't David Stewart. He wasn't Jack Conklin out of the gate. And so we have to see, you know, how that thing develops.
There you go. That was Corey Curtis on Robbie and Rex Road this morning. Of course, an article coming down on TennesseeTitans.com. Jim Wyatt had a mailbag. One Titans fan asks about the future of Nate Davis, the future of Corey Levin, the future of the offensive line, where Jim Wyatt says, as for Nate Davis, I would be surprised if he's back in 2023. And a lot of times when Jim Wyatt says it, it's a wink, wink, nudge, nudge. I'd be surprised. I think that's the message coming from Jim Wyatt, of course, that we can likely expect Nate Davis to not be back in 2023. And I really expected that he would.
Yeah. I think Teron said it well, that there's a pretty good market for Nate Davis, probably. There's a lot of new elements, new offensive coordinator for the Titans, new offensive line coach. Only a certain amount of resources. You need a lot of things filled. And so what Teron said, I think, makes sense. What he might make on the offense or on the offensive line market might be a little more than the Titans are willing to pay. Mm-hmm. Especially knowing the Titans have got to spread resources around for a lot of spots on the offensive line. I get that.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a bad thing for Nate Davis that, you know, somebody would want to offer him more money.
Right.
And I'm sure, you know, and, you know, it's like, listen, if I can go to a team and, you know, the team is winning and they're set up to win and set up to go far in the playoffs, then, you know, why wouldn't you, you know, either seriously consider signing a contract to a team like that or at least just, you know, listening to what they got to say as far as a organization. But, I mean, I understand the Titans, too. They got a lot of holes to fill. But, again, this is the guy you drafted. You know, he grew up in this organization in a sense. You got to start. I mean, you got to sign. He's a good player. Mm-hmm. Is he a great player? He hasn't shown that, but is he a good, solid? Yes, he is.
He's a starting guard.
Exactly.
In
he's
the
a
NFL.
Starting guy.
Solid starter.
You can't, I mean, it's hard for me to say just let him walk because you drafted him and he's been good enough to be a starter since, you know, since he's been here, basically. Then you try to find a way to start him. Now, sign him. Now, you don't want to give him, you know, above what the market says, but making a good offer to him, like a realistic offer.
That makes sense.
It makes sense to do. I could see him doing that and then him potentially going somewhere else just because they're paying more. But at least you got to offer him a contract that's respectable. Because you drafted a guy and he's been a starter for you.
And this is what never really gets discussed to me like it should, and that is let's just throw out a figure, $5 million. Mm-hmm. $5 million here versus $7 million there. We talked about that all the time with Philip Forsberg, right? The cost of living in Tennessee, the tax situation.
Well, the cost of living got high now.
It's getting higher.
And it's cheap.
But it is also in L.A. Yeah, it's also in New York. Right, it's getting higher here, but it's also getting higher in a lot of these other places, right? It's still better here relative to a lot of other markets. I still wonder if the Titans take advantage of that, if agents speak that language a little bit more. I do think that angle, and also this is the devil you know, right? You know your talent. You know your teammates. Yes, some things are going to change because it's a new offensive line. It could be a new scheme. How do you fit into that? But still, I still feel like there's a fit there at the right price.
And I think that goes back to priorities. Like, I'll look at Taylor Lewan, for example. If Taylor Lewan's willing to take a very Titans-friendly deal to make significantly less money, because I think that's Taylor Lewan's priority is staying in Tennessee, then that's fine. Because I think that's his priority. He would be willing to take less money to stay here than he would to make a couple million elsewhere. I don't know what Nate Davis's priorities are. Is he willing to make $1.5 million less? I'm just throwing that money, that number out there. I don't know if that's for certain. $1.5 million less to stay here, or is he following the money?
That's the question.
And that's like AJ Brown, for example, looking at the way that his contract is constructed in Philly, looking at the cost of living in Philadelphia, it really is net even with what he would be making in Tennessee, but his priority was the AAV. His priority was how much his contract said, and that's fine if that's your priority. But that's kind of the question, is what would Nate Davis be willing to take? And to your point about, you know, you're going to have to pay a lot of guys. You're going to have to allocate a lot of resources to the offensive line. I think that might even be more reason to sign Nate Davis.
Yeah.
Because looking at another article on TennesseeTitans.com, it was a sit-down that Jim White had with Ben Jones at the Pro Bowl. And Ben Jones says, you know, being at the Pro Bowl means even more at the end of your career. So that, to me, is maybe a red flag. Okay, is Ben Jones wanting to step away? And then he goes on to say, you know, my mindset is it's an off season. How do I prepare like a normal off season? I'll get some surgeries. I'll get healthy. I want to spend time with my family, get healthy, get ready to play football like I always do. If I'm able to still play at a high level, I would love to keep playing. If not, grandfather time does happen, and we'll see what is best for our family. That, to me, is Ben Jones seriously considering retirement, seriously considering stepping away. And if he is, that's fine. I mean, Ben Jones has been through the ringer throughout his career in the NFL. So now you're looking at potentially moving on from Nate Davis. So you're going to have to fill a guard position. Ben Jones might be retiring. You might need to fill that center position. You might move on from Taylor Lewan. You need to fill left tackle. I don't know what your situation is with Aaron Brewer. I don't think that he is a legitimate starting offensive lineman in the NFL. He's just not big enough. Can Aaron Brewer be a depth piece? Sure. Why not? So now you're looking at 3 to 4 pieces on the offensive line. And maybe we don't even know how the Titans feel about Nicholas Petit-Frere. I think they probably give it another go. Looking at 3 to 4 positions on the offensive line, wouldn't you want to bring back a known commodity? It sounds like the Titans aren't. They're not willing to do that, per Jim Wyatt. But
We'll see. I mean, once the market opens up and you know, you start seeing deals being made, then I think you get a more of a realistic picture of what's going on. A lot of times when we're talking about free agency or GMs or whatnot, you know, I like to reference or look back to Ozzie and what he used to do. And he would tell us, like, listen, go out and it was like with me, go out and test the market, you know, and if you feel that there's a deal, and he's done it with just Ozzie. The part about is he's done it with just about every player, even the Hall of Fame ones on that roster at some point. Like, okay, go test the market. I remember that, you know, with Ray Lewis, I think his last contract that he got, they didn't sign that contract right away, and many thought he was going to end up leaving Baltimore. But, you know, Ozzie stayed put. Listen, if you want, we want you, but if you want to go out and test the market, then okay, that's your prerogative. You can do that. Then you come back to us and see what the market, see how the market lines everything up for you. And if you feel our deal is better, then okay. But we're not going to give you all day to do it, you know. And maybe Rand is you know, sort of that way as well. Now, listen, if you want to go out and test the market, go ahead. Mm-hmm. Here's our contract for you. It's a good contract. If you think you can get a better one, then more power. I am, you know, good for the player. But if not, then this contract could be waiting there. But there is an expiration date on it, too. Like, you can't be, you know, for 2 months hold out. But right. No. But, yeah, they should. I think you drafted him. He's played pretty good. You know, try to get a deal worked out for him.
Is Aaron Rodgers coming to the Titans? Jared doesn't think so, but that is not necessarily the word on the street. Jared will get into that coming up next on Stillman & Company. We will be back tomorrow at 11 a.m.
Peace.